Let me read the word of God before I can invite us to have our seats in the presence of the Lord. Our text today comes from the book of Luke, chapter 17, and I'll be reading from verse 11 to verse 19. I believe it is a familiar passage to many of us, or rather the story could actually be familiar to many of us. Luke chapter 17, verse 11 to 19. And the Bible says, "Now on his way," that is Jesus, "to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, 'Jesus, Master, have pity on us.' When he saw them, he said, 'Go show yourselves to the priests.' And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, 'Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?' Then he said to him, 'Rise and go. Your faith has made you well.'" That is the word of the Lord this morning. Receive it in Jesus' name. Let me invite us to have our seats in the presence of the Lord as we take this opportunity to listen to the word of God this morning. It is such a day of celebration and great joy as we come before the Lord. Our theme today being thanksgiving, and there is such great joy in the house. Even those who are online, whether they are watching us or watching us, we are glad that they are part of this great celebration. And I believe they have their dancing shoes on as well to celebrate the doing of the Lord in their lives. Amen. Allow me to just appreciate my wife today. She's seated alone. I normally sit with her. Niko hapa tu karibu. Distance sio refu sana. We thank God for Kate. That's my dear wife. The children have gone to Sunday school. It is important for a pastor to mention. It is part of accountability. And you can see her face is okay. She doesn't have any scratch. She's very lovely. So the man of God has continued to do that which is right. Amen? I have not been overcome by temptation. I use my hands to glorify the Lord alone. Amen? Hallelujah. We have had a very interesting year. Do you agree with me? Especially as a church family. We've had great, great sermons. The word of God has been released to us in this place, being the year of the Lord's uplifted open door. And particularly as we come to this last Sunday of the month of November, where we have been talking about open door renewal, uplifted kingdom refreshment. Today I want to bring us a message titled "The Testimony of Thanksgiving." The testimony of thanksgiving. Once again, just reading a portion of this passage that we read, verse 16 and 19, it says, "One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God," underline the word God, "came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet," again underline the words Jesus' feet, "and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Then he said to him," verse 19, "then he said to him," this is Jesus saying to him, he said, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." A testimony is evidence or proof of something. And when we go to the legal terms, it is a formal statement from a witness of what they have seen, what they have heard or know concerning a matter, and it must be truthful. To a believer, it is more than this, because a testimony is a proclamation to a believer. It is a message. It is a trustworthy message, one that concerns God's unique person, position, and work. And I know in our country, we have been treated to many testimonies, including the one that you are with us. You remember that one. But John puts this issue of testimony into perspective. I know that one somebody will get in the middle of the night, but it's okay. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1 to 3, John is talking about a testimony. He says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, and our hands have touched, this we proclaim, we testify concerning the word of life. And verse 2, the life appeared. We have seen it and testified to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard. These are very key characteristics of a testimony. What we have seen, what we have heard, and he says, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. Thanksgiving, therefore, brothers and sisters, I submit to us that it is one of the many ways that we as believers testify, proclaim what we have seen, what we have heard, what we have known, what we have believed. And therefore, somebody who is joining us today and is wondering, what is this fast all about? I am here to tell you, it's about what we have seen. It is about what we have known. It is about what we have heard. It is about what we have believed. Somebody is asking, why are they dancing? Why are they bringing farm produce to the altar? Why is the pastor receiving the upeo of carrots? It is because we have seen. I don't know whether I have a testimony of somebody who has seen. Do I have a testimony of somebody who has heard? Do I have a testimony of somebody who has believed? Do I have a testimony of somebody who has known? That's the reason we are gathered today. Thanksgiving, brothers and sisters, is more than acknowledging with gratitude things that God has done for us. It is more than that. Many times when we talk about thanksgiving, there must be an attachment of something that has been done. And especially things that we approve, that we call good, that we rate as pleasant. Thanksgiving is more than a pleasant response that is coated with a pinch of excitement to change to the changes in status in our lives, either from negative to positive. Brothers and sisters, I submit to us this morning that thanksgiving as a testimony for a believer is the default response to God's will concerning everything all the time, whether we feel it, whether we like it, whether we enjoy it. As a believer, as long as it is God's will, we have a reason to give thanks. Therefore, even in times when we are not very happy, therefore, even in times when it doesn't look appropriate for a believer, because of what we know, because of what we have heard, because of what we have seen, every occasion will be an occasion of thanksgiving. No wonder then Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 to 18, this is what Paul tells us. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will concerning you in Christ Jesus. When a believer realizes that thanksgiving is not merely about things that have happened, then a believer will have an overflow of thanksgiving. If you look at the pastor's word today, is drawn from the passage that Pastor Simon read, that God is inviting us. The psalmist says, enter his courts, his gates with thanksgiving. It is not qualified. It is an invitation to enter the courts of the Lord. And in that word, I'm saying to us that may the Lord, through this service today, minister to our attitude. May the Lord minister to our posture. May the Lord minister to our activity concerning thanksgiving. You know, while it is important and even exciting to acknowledge the good things that God has done for us, and indeed, they are many. There are so many. There is a song that says, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and you will what? You will do what? You will be in awe of what the Lord has done. Maybe somebody is saying this year has been a very difficult year, but when you sit down to start counting the blessings that you have continued to enjoy, even in a difficult year, you will be surprised how much the Lord has been good to you. And therefore, thanksgiving then in the life of a believer is raised beyond the standard of what we approve. It is raised to the realm of what God approves as his good and perfect will concerning our lives. And for that, we give him an amen. The passage that we've read today introduces Jesus as walking along the border that divides Samaria and Galilee. He is headed to Jerusalem, and Jerusalem is a very important city. It is the capital of Judaism at this point. It is an important city to the Jews. It's a very important city to the Jewish nation, and that's where Jesus is walking. Although we are told he is walking at the border. He's not in Galilee. He's not in Samaria. As he was going into a village, and this village is actually not named, we are told that 10 men with leprosy met him. Now, I want to assume that actually this is a village that was neither in Samaria nor was it in Galilee. This man stood from a distance, and this was in line with the requirements, the Jewish customs regarding persons with leprosy. They were supposed to stand at a distance. They were not supposed to mingle with the rest of the people. If you read the book of Leviticus, chapter 13, verse 45 to 46, this is what the Bible tells us. Anyone with such a defiling disease must wear torn clothes. They should not wear suits. They must wear torn clothes. Let their hair be unkempt. They should never visit a barber. Let them cover the lower part of their face and cry out, unclean, 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 with a loud voice. As long as they have the disease, they remain unclean. And then it says they must live alone. They must live outside the camp. No wonder Jesus is meeting this man somewhere in a border, somewhere in a village. This village seems to have been a village that has accommodated such people as lepers who are not required to mingle with people because of their sickness. But it is this village that Jesus is entering. In the midst of this border that truly divided two people and made them very distinct in their very existence, we see a rare unity of some 10 men who do not know any divider. They do not care about their religion. They do not care about their status. They do not care about culture. They have been united by pain. They are united by isolation. They are united by despair. They are united by degradation. They are united in wandering. The Bible does not tell us where they were going. Maybe they were just passing time. They cannot engage in any meaningful work, gainful work. So they were just passing time. They are walking, but in their unity of pain, they become one and they meet Jesus. Brothers and sisters, is this not the condition of our world today? Is it not a world that has the leprosy of sin? Inasmuch as we try to amplify our borderlines, whether in terms of country, whether in terms of status, economic status, whether in terms of culture, whether in terms of our position, brothers and sisters, we are all plagued by the leprosy of sin. Yet it is only the encounter, of this man they refer to as Jesus, this man they refer to as Master. It is only the encounter of his pity that makes a difference in our lives. It is not our skin color. It is not whether we are male or female. It is the encounter with the Master. And this morning we can give glory to God because Jesus has left his important city and he has chosen to come down to this village called the world that is covered by leprosy and that has leprous people and some who do not know. He has come down to be with us so that we encounter him and our lives are transformed and we are no longer leprous, but we are people who are clean in his presence. You know, Philippians chapter 2 verse 6 to 8 tells us about this Jesus. He says, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. He came to the village of leprosy. He took sin upon himself so that even with death on the cross, we can meet him, have an encounter with him. We can meet him, and he has pity on us. We can meet him, and we will have a reason to give thanks when he touches us. This Jesus is not hidden to anyone. This Jesus is visible to all of us. All of us can see him, whether Samaritans, whether Jews, whether pastors, whether whatever the tribe, whatever the status, this Jesus is visible to all of us. Therefore, each one of us can have an encounter with Jesus. Because John tells us in chapter 3, verse 14, this is what John tells us in chapter 3, that just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. Jesus has been lifted up. Jesus is lifted up this morning. I am speaking to someone and I'm saying Jesus is visible. Jesus is above your circumstances. Jesus is above your shortcomings. Jesus is above darkness. You can see him. He is lifted up. All you require is to turn to him and see him on the cross. And the Bible says that whoever then turns and believes will have eternal life. Why? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Because Jesus is lifted, even as this year comes to an end, you will not perish. Because Jesus is lifted, even as this year comes to an end, you will not end in despair. Because Jesus is lifted, even as this year comes to an end, you will finish strong in Jesus' name. You will have a testimony because we know, because we have seen, because we believe, because we have heard. Praise Jesus. In the story, we are told that Jesus saw them from a distance. He did not make any demands. Today, there are people who are making demands for your healing. They are saying, if you want to be healed, my namesake, Daktari, they are saying, if you want to be healed, They make a demand. Some of them in one extreme, they say, go and get a black chicken. Where do people get black chicken? Have you ever seen a totally black chicken? They say, go and get a black chicken. And one of the feather in the middle should be standing like this. That is the kind of chicken you bring. Then there are those who say you must plant a certain seed. Pastor Simon, I've heard there are some churches where if you give 500 shillings, you are prayed for by the ushers. If you give 1,000, you may have Kasina lay his hands on you, the worship team leader. If you give 2,000, then inaanza kupanda kwa remia ya kina dikontimo. Inaanza kupanda namna hiyo. If you give 100K, inafika kwa Kate, wife ya pastor. Aye, wife ya pastor ndio anakuombea. Now, anything above that, you have the rare opportunity to meet the man of God himself. Jesus does not make any demand of this man. And Jesus is not making any demand of you. He is saying, just come as you are. Those who are heavy laden, come to me as you are. And for these ones, he did not inquire, what are your names? Where did you contract leprosy from? In fact, he just said to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. Jesus is not making any demand on you. He's just saying, believe. Because he's lifted up. Oh, our Jesus is lifted up. Our Jesus is visible. I am speaking to somebody who came to this service bowed down. May your head be lifted this morning so that you can see this Jesus who is lifted for you. And by that, you receive your healing. A reason to give thanks. Of course, these people, we are told they immediately turned and went to show themselves to the priests. Among them, there were people who understood what it meant to go and show yourselves to the priests. Because we are told clearly that there was one Samaritan. And I think with the information that we have in the text, we can safely conclude, Pastor Simon, that the rest were Jews. We can safely conclude that way. That the rest were Jews. So they understood the language of Jesus, what it meant to go and show yourself to the priest. It meant that when you go to show yourselves to the priest on the eighth day, after staying in isolation for 7 days, then the priest will conduct some rituals and you will receive your cleansing. So these guys understood, because this man is a prophet, he is operating within the law. But what they didn't know is that Jesus was not operating within the law. Jesus was operating within the kingdom. It was a kingdom operation. It was not a law operation. It was not a legal operation. It was a kingdom operation. Of course, as they were walking, they all were cleansed. How do we know that? We know that because Jesus says, were not all the 10, again from the text, were not all the 10 cleansed, but only one came to give thanks. And Jesus declared that this one, who was a foreigner, was healed because there was an element of faith. There was an element of faith. Very quickly, how is thanksgiving then a testimony of, how is thanksgiving a testimony then? In which ways is it a testimony? And we see several, three things quickly from the passage. One, we are told that when this man turned, he went praising God in a loud voice. Secondly, we are told he fell at the feet of Jesus. And thirdly, we are told Jesus himself pronounced that his healing was as a result of his faith. Brothers and sisters, thanksgiving, number one, is a testimony of our God. Thanksgiving is a testimony of our God. The Bible says in verse 15, one of them, when he saw he was healed, he came back praising God in a loud voice. Until this point, we did not know anything about the Samaritan's God. If anything, for heaven's sake, he is a Samaritan. and Samaritans were not considered to be legitimate children of God. Therefore, he must have some other God other than God who is Yahweh. But it is here that through thanksgiving, we now know that the Samaritan acknowledged God as God. Because we are told that he turned back praising the Lord, praising God, and he did not do it secretly. He did it in a loud voice. That which was a secret in his heart, that which probably was hidden in his heart, that which he knew, that which he had heard. And how do I know he may have heard this? He had, he was in the company of Jews. And I believe that this man must have mentioned about their God. They must talked about their God. Because leprosy and this kind of sicknesses had something to do with one not being righteous. They must have been pleading to God. They must have been praying seven times and saying, God, if it is a sin that I have committed, God, forgive me. Get this leprosy out of me. And this man must have heard about God and God and God. Because really, a Samaritan had no place to know about this God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. But in the company of Jews, he got an opportunity. Not only did he get an opportunity, but he seemed to have heard, he seemed to have believed, he seemed to have caught this God. And maybe silently, he believed in that God. I want to remind you of Ruth. Ruth was a Moabite. She was not an Israelite. But she makes a very powerful confession about this God. Where do you think she gets this confession from? When Elimelech and his sons arrived in Moab and his wife, they must have continued to say, oh, God has forgotten us. That is why there is no bread in Bethlehem. They must have talked about their God. When they sat around the table, they must have talked about their God. And when Ruth and Oprah joined this family, this God continued to be mentioned. And in Ruth chapter 1 verse 16, this God has already had an impact, an impression in the life of Ruth. And this is what Ruth says in verse 16. But Ruth replied, don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people. And your God will be my God. You know, we use this passage in weddings. Let me leave it there. We use it in weddings, and sometimes, Deacon Jack, let me leave it there. We'll come to it another day. You know, so what does thanksgiving proclaim? Thanksgiving proclaims that it is God who has done it. Thanksgiving proclaims that it is God who will do it. Thanksgiving proclaims that it is God who is doing it. We don't simply thank God when he does something. We thank him for who he is. Thanksgiving says that God will heal me. But even if he doesn't heal me, I give thanks because he's the healer. Thanksgiving says that God will protect me. But even if he doesn't protect me, I will give thanks because he's the protector. Thanksgiving says, oh, God will provide for us. We thank him for the provision. But even if he doesn't provide, we will still thank him for he is our provider. We do not have any other source. It is him alone. Thanksgiving says that I thank God because I am alive. But it also says I thank God because he is the life giver. Thanksgiving is a testimony of your God. Who is your God? But secondly, thanksgiving is a testimony of our worship. Verse 16, the Bible says that this man who was a foreigner who came shouting about God, the Bible says that he threw himself at the feet of Jesus and he thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. And verse 17 tells us, Jesus asked Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise, adoration, and worship to our God except this foreigner? You know, we do not know where the other 9 went, who had been healed alongside the Samaritan. We are not told where they went. By the way, we don't even know whether they went to show themselves to the priests. They just disappeared in thick air. We do not know even whether they acknowledged that their healing was a miracle and not, according to the law. It was a miracle. But if you ever doubted whether the Samaritan was a true worshiper, then doubt no more. Because the Bible tells us that he came and he fell at the feet of Jesus, who is the object of all worship. And there he spent some time thanking God. Have you heard people saying that ninaenda tu hapa kujirudishia shukurani? Have you heard that language? Have you also heard another one that says ninaenda tu hapa kurudishia mwili shukurani? Mwili imekuwa ikinifanyia maneno mzuri mzuri. So ninapitia hapa kidogo niipatie shukurani. You know, when I think about this man, I imagine that probably they were not true worshippers of God. Because for them, their relationship seems to be transactional. They understood the law that if I did this, cleansing would happen. They also understood that my sickness, my leprosy, is as a result of my unrighteousness. And therefore, all I needed to do was to be right with God, and I will be cured. The Samaritan has no such privilege. All he knows is that I am unclean. He knows that I am suffering from leprosy. He knows that it is painful. And one thing he now understands is that there is a man I have encountered. There is a man at his word. I have been cleansed. And he comes to his feet to worship. Now, you may recall that Samaritans are, they have an argument about worship. If you go to chapter 4 of John, we find the Samaritan woman arguing with Jesus. And what are they arguing about? They are arguing about worship. This Samaritan woman is saying, you people say that we must worship in Jerusalem. And we know that we worship here where Jacob has his well. This is the place where our fathers drank from. It is a religious engagement. But Jesus lifts this woman from religiosity, from the law, and says to her in John chapter 4 verse 23, he says that yet a time is coming and has now come when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. True worshipers are thanksgiving worshipers. True worshipers come before the Lord in exaltation. True worshipers, they are full of gratitude in their hearts because they know there is a God. And when we worship him, when we bow before him, we can stand before anyone and any situation. I don't know what your thanksgiving looks like. I hope your thanksgiving is not transactional. God is above transactions. So your thanksgiving testifies to whom you will direct your worship. No wonder then Habakkuk tells us in chapter 3, verse 17 and 18, Habakkuk says, though the fig tree may not blossom. Do I have somebody whose fig tree has not blossomed? Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on our vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold and there be no herd in the stalls, he says, yet I will rejoice, yet I will worship, yet I will glorify, yet I will exalt the Lord, yet I will find joy in God my salvation. I will give thanks Thanksgiving is a testimony that you are not moved. When it comes to worship, you are not moved. What shall move us? What shall separate us from the love of God? What shall separate us from this King of Kings? Paul says, nothing. We shall worship him. Every time for a believer is a thanksgiving moment. And you know, some of you are thinking, oh God, in January I trusted in you in January. Oh, I made my demands to you in January. I made my requests to you in January. And now we are in the last Sunday of November. I know nothing will not happen. I am here to declare to you that our God is not restricted to time. Keep worshiping. Keep giving thanks. Keep exalting his name. Keep praising his name. Keep proclaiming. Have a testimony of the King of Kings. Oh Lord, you know the year started and I don't have a job. Do you realize how you have survived throughout the year without a job? It's because there is a God who is in heaven who sustains even without jobs. Oh, business has not been good, yet you have not even closed shop because there is a God in heaven. No wonder we can say we have come to give thanks to him. And worship him. Kasina forgot to tell me to come in my orange suit. I have one and I don't know where to wear it. I would have come and joined the worship team in orange. But finally, thanksgiving is a testimony of our faith. Thanksgiving is a testimony of our faith. You know, verse 19 says, then he, Jesus, that is Jesus, said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. Brothers and sisters, we shall never know about the faith of the other 9 lepers who are healed. We shall never know. In fact, let me say, we shall never even know whether they were healed because of faith. You know, it is not everything that happens in your life that is as a result of faith. You didn't hear that. By the way, they may have been healed because of obedience. They may have been healed because they actually obeyed. But what is the substance of their obedience? Do you know there are people who are very desperate until they look like they are Christians? And whatever you tell them, they will obey. They do not necessarily have faith, but they obey. There are people who can come to church because they obey, but they lack faith. The obedience that pleases God is the obedience that springs out of faith. And Jesus tells us, of the 10 men, there is one who had faith. In fact, probably because of the faith of... Now, I'm just trying to imagine, Pastor Simon. I'm not being heretical. I am the maturity pastor. I am just trying to see what could be in the scripture. Maybe these 9 men were healed because of the faith of the Samaritan. They didn't have a faith of themselves. There are things that God does to us, and we are secondary beneficiaries. Because he needed to give us a harvest. He needed to give Pastor Kiniti a good harvest. He brings the rain. But another muganga in the village who has a farm next to mine also receives the rain. And the good thing is that he had already prepared his shamba and he planted good seed, obedience. But he is not benefiting because of obedience. He is benefiting because he has a shamba next to a man of faith whose obedience is informed by faith. So Muganga thinks it's because of his Kamute. It is not Kamute. It is a man who is next to him. And God is faithful to those who are righteous and those who have faith in him. So the rain comes. I get a harvest. But also the Muganga gets, I come to the house of the Lord and bring a portion of it. The Muganga puts a big billboard and says, if you want your shamba to be like mine, bring a black chicken. Are you getting the difference? Are you getting the difference? Obedience. Let me show you an example. Let me show you an example. Do you remember the man Naaman? As I conclude, do you remember Naaman? Naaman was healed, was he? He was healed out of obedience, not out of faith. Because he stood before the man of God and said, oh, the man of God actually sent one of his servants, Gehazi. Say, just go and tell him to dip himself, how many times? 7 times in the Jordan. And he said, look, I have come here even with a letter. I have come here even with gifts. I am a commander. I am a man, a mighty man of valor. This man cannot even show up in my presence to lay his hands on me and to call his God so that I may be healed. You know, sometimes we want God to operate in our terms. That is not faith. Can I tell you another man who lacked faith? Do you remember Gideon? He is a mighty man of valor. But he says, God, if it is you, come and niwewe. Come and niwewe. I'm putting a sponge out here. If this sponge by morning, it is wet, I know it is you. Eh, it is him. Eh, labda kulinyesha. God, for sure, if it is you, then tomorrow let it be dry. And it was. God is calling us to obedience that is informed by faith. I want you to imagine what would have happened to Naaman if he had dipped himself 7 times and never got cleansed. What do you think he would have done? The man would have been very angry. I don't know whether this morning we have some people who are angry with God. I don't know whether we have some people who are angry with God because it didn't go my way. I am inviting you to engage him at the faith level, and it will go his way, and his way is the best for you. Oh, I will not come to church again because I have been giving and coming to church and God has not responded. He has not done anything for me. That is an obedience that lacks faith. And sometimes we have even given such people leadership positions. We have called them to serve with an obedience that lacks faith, and they become very troublesome because everything must go their direction. It needs to go their way so that it can sound godly. A believer who has faith knows that it must go God's way and not his way. And he walks in thanksgiving. The Samaritan, Jesus identifies to us that he had faith. Brothers and sisters, as I come to a conclusion, I want to invite us in a moment to interrogate our thanksgiving today. Why are you thanking God? Or rather, why have you brought thanksgiving before him? My prayer for you is that you are thankful because he is God. My prayer for you is that you are thankful as a way of worship and adoration. The Bible says that our God is not a debtor, yet he is very generous. He says that his generosity and love has been demonstrated to us, that even while we were sinners, while we were enemies of the cross, when we walked in leprosy, even without knowing, when we were in the company of hopelessness, when we were lost in darkness, this God, out of his generosity, He sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross. And then Paul asks this question in Romans chapter 8, that if this God has been this generous to give his son on the cross, what else? Get me that verse. What else? Romans chapter 8, it should be somewhere verse 20 or something. Says, what else will he not give us? Oh, he is a good God. He is a good God. He is a faithful God. That this God, while we were in darkness, when we didn't know ourselves, he says that this Christ went to the cross for us. And now maybe you're seated here and you're wondering, then why is he not able to heal me? He remains God, he's the healer. Reminds me of Paul. Paul says that 3 times I prayed for God to take away a thorn that was in my flesh. And finally he says, God spoke to him and said, my grace is sufficient. I don't know whether we have someone who is walking in grace. Grace is better than abundance. Grace is better than healing. Grace is better than wealth. Grace keeps you going. It is grace that holds you while you walk through the valley of the shadow of darkness. It is grace that keeps fear away from you. It is grace that places a table before you in the presence of your enemies. It is grace. It is not your money. It is not your position. It is not even your luck. It is not your strategies. It is grace. This grace is from God. It is not even because of the position that you hold. It is not me serving as a pastor. It is because of God's grace. And therefore I come before him in worship and in thanksgiving. I don't have everything that I would want to have or imagine I should have, but I have grace. And that grace then has taught me contentment. And because of contentment, then it has put a well of thanksgiving in my heart so that in all occasions, I am able to say, thank you, Lord. I am able to say, thank you, Jesus. I am able to say, thank you, Holy Spirit. It begins with an encounter with Jesus. So as I bring this to a close, are you here and you're not born again? Are you here and you're still wandering like the lepers? Are you here and you're still walking alone? Are you here and you're still walking in isolation? Are you here walking with an obedience that has no faith? Jesus is saying he's already lifted up. You can encounter him today by giving your life to him, by surrendering your life to him. And so as we stand up, the rest of the congregation, you're here, you want to give your life to Christ, just walk to the front as we bring this service to a close in Jesus' name. The rest of us, let us stand up. It is those who want to have that encounter, that first encounter of salvation with the Lord. I am inviting you as we sing just one line, that you come to the front. You want to receive Jesus. You want to invite him. You want to begin a journey with him. You want to have an encounter with him. Come. You are the one we want to pray with. And then the rest of you, we shall pray with you even as the service comes to an end. One more time as we sing this, just come in Jesus' name.
Wangu ote, nasema asante kwako.
Is there anyone who is coming? Let me see. I don't want to lock you out. Those who are online, you can put it in the chat and somebody will follow up with you. Is there anybody who is coming? You want to have a first encounter with Jesus in your life? He is inviting you this morning in Jesus' name. Anybody coming? I don't want to lock you out. You can come. Jesus is inviting you so that you can have an encounter with him in Jesus' name. And so, Lord, we give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. We exalt you. We proclaim that you are God. And that's why we come to give you thanks. Because you are God. There is none like you. There is none besides you. Yes, we worship you. We are at your feet this morning. All our worship is to you. All our allegiance is to you. We come before you with an undivided attention, all laid at your feet. Yes, we have faith that you alone are God. We have faith that you are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can think or imagine. We have faith that you love us. We have faith that there is nothing that is impossible with you. And for this, Lord, we shall continue to proclaim with thanksgiving of your doing and of who you are in our lives. Receive all the glory and receive all the honor. This year has not come to an end because you are still in charge, because you are in charge. And I declare there is a testimony coming the way of your people. You are not yet done with your people concerning this year. Something great is still in the horizon. We shall continue believing. We shall continue hoping. We shall continue worshiping. We shall continue giving thanks because to you all glory and honor is due. As I release your people, Lord, I pray that their Monday will be full of blessing. Their Tuesday will be full of grace. Their Wednesday will be full of love. Their Thursday will be full of faith. Their Friday will be full of joy. Their Saturday will be full of miracles. And yes, their Sunday will be full of thanksgiving and praise to your name, because only you deserve our thanksgiving. You are blessed in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And God's people say, amen. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen.